Hey, what's going on, everybody? What a fun episode of Raw tonight. A couple of names that we didn't expect to show up, showed up. Interesting match. Well, one we knew was going to happen. The other one we thought was happening at WrestleMania. Added to Elimination Chamber. I wonder why. Could it have to do with a possible WWE sale? Yeah, we'll talk about Raw tonight, get into a couple other tidbits, a few updates for Elimination Chamber. I think you realize tonight why Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes is a much deeper, more valid, more deserving main event of WrestleMania than Sami Zayn, with all due respect. Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman tonight, beautiful exchange. Getting to see a little bit of real, raw emotion, and believe me when I tell you, I remember 2000, and I remember Dusty Rhodes appearing in ECW for a little while. If you recall, that was the time that I started pushing tickets for ECW. So once Cody said that he was going to tell a story about 2000, I think a lot of us had an idea of where he was going to go with it. Everything that he said was true. I mean, the amount of money problems they were having at that time were very, very severe. And believe me, I tell you, when Dusty first showed up in ECW, I mean, it was larger than life. Icon, just larger than life. At the same time, though, it felt a little bit odd, you know, that he was in there. But he quickly adapted. And the brawl that he had with Steve Corino, you know, you go back to that, it's pretty fun, man. Really, really fun to think back and reminisce a little bit. But and at the end tonight, we had another WWE Hall of Famer make her surprise appearance. Where this goes from here, we're not sure, but we will talk about it. So I want to welcome everyone to tonight's post-Raw show. I am Don Tony. If you check out the synopsis in the description section, you will see what we're going to talk about tonight, which is going to be primarily Raw, Elimination Chamber, some ratings, news, and a couple of plugs, and we're going to get out of here. If you haven't done so already, if I go like this and you're on YouTube, you'll see a magic link pop up after we go live. It was uploaded yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. It's not even 36 hours, and it is almost, what, 8,000 views? My podcast, Forbidden Door 4, Conversation with Misha Montana, is up, and I appreciate everyone who found it very, very interesting. You got to see a side of Misha Montana you probably never did before. If you didn't know who she is, now you know who she is, and you get a little bit of what she's all about, the person who is not only dating Matt Riddle, but is one that is really helping him through some big, tough times. You know, as I've said before, you know, a lot of his time off was emotional, mental, a lot of counseling, a lot of soul searching, a lot of finding happiness. You know, there's always a saying, money doesn't buy happiness. You know, fame doesn't always buy happiness. I mean, you see some of the tragedies over the years. Now, I'm not saying that Matt Riddle was on the verge of being a tragedy. No, not at all. But my point is that now you see a little bit of the person who I've had the privilege to get to know over the last month. So if you haven't checked it out already, I promise you'll enjoy it. You'll definitely enjoy it. So, all right. Not easy to screenshot as much as we did today. And some of this will be out of order, but that's all right. I think we could open up with a match that we knew was going to happen. If you've paid attention to the show over the last 2 weeks, we talked about it, that Elimination Chamber would end up being Edge and Beth Phoenix teaming up to take on Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor. They were not going to have this at WrestleMania, obviously, because Rhea Ripley won the Royal Rumble. She has her match at Mania. As we see, you're not going to have Rhea Ripley doing double duty, especially if there is a loss at Elimination Chamber. Now, I don't think she will be the one getting the pin. It'll probably be Finn Balor getting pinned, but the mixed tag is confirmed. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. Beth Phoenix and Edge will be taking on Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley at the Elimination Chamber. And once we get through with the additions to Elimination Chamber. Then we'll talk a little bit why this may have to do with a WWE sale, believe it or not. We'll get into that a little bit. Now, is it just me, or has Beth Phoenix like gotten even more jacked? I was paying attention to her while Edge was cutting this promo tonight with her. I mean, she laid the challenge to Judgment Day. Beth Phoenix looks fucking jacked. I mean, she has been working out like an animal. And I tell you, Elimination Chamber is going to be fun, man. You know, we opened up Raw tonight with Edge and Beth Phoenix in the ring, you know, recapping the last year of Judgment Day. And Edge brought up a good point. Every member of Judgment Day is better now than they were a year ago. That is true. And as we've been saying for quite some time now, Dominic, Rhea Ripley, obviously, but Dominic probably has benefited the most from this. And even tonight, now, if you paid attention closely, once again, no man is going to put their hands on a woman. Beth Phoenix was allowed to do the opposite. That's the WWE mantra. It's cool. I have no problem with it. You know, people online will still try to convince you that WWE is going to bring back or bring in intergender matches. It ain't happening, folks. It ain't happening. Their standards and practices, their advertisers, their investors, they have to answer to a higher power. And you don't just make drastic changes like that without clearing it from the people who matter. That's what happens when you have a $9 billion publicly traded entertainment company. But this was fucking funny tonight. Beth Phoenix puts Dominic in a glam slam, and Beth Phoenix points out that she wanted to face Rhea Ripley tonight. She wanted to beat Judgment Day's asses tonight, but Rhea Ripley's touring the globe to promote WrestleMania, so she was not there. So Beth says, okay, I was about Elimination Chamber. And then Finn Balor pretty much not necessarily accepted it right then and there, but we had a little bit of a brawl. Judgment Day cornered Edge and Beth Phoenix. They had nowhere to go. It was 3-on-1. And then Street Profits show up, and then you had Beth Phoenix put her hands on Dominic. And Dominic, if you don't even need video to see this from my audio-only friends out there. All you got to do is just listen closely. And right before he slammed, he's crying out for mommy. Dominic is really upped it a notch, man. Here you go.
Look at the strength.
Down. Down he goes. Beth Phoenix, I'm telling you, man, she looks freaking jacked. She always looked jacked. But now it's like she looks like a monster, man. You know, it's going to be fun. This is going to be a good match to have an Elimination Chamber. You know, the big question at the end of Raw tonight is Lita going to be part of Elimination Chamber? I honestly don't see it. It's possible, but I don't see it. You know, maybe it carries over into NXT. That's always a possibility. Another match that is going to be added to Elimination Chamber, this surprises me. Now, you know, we've been talking about Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar being the match for WrestleMania. That has been pretty much the goal all along. And tonight we had something change with this. Very, very interesting. Brock Lesnar announced only maybe 2-3 hours before Raw started tonight, he's announced to be at Raw tonight. Brock Lesnar hits the ring, and Brock Lesnar's pissed the fuck off. He said, did you all see the Royal Rumble? By the way, did anybody out there think that Brock Lesnar's southern accent was a little bit deeper tonight? Did you notice that? He was talking about the Royal Rumble and how the Royal Rumble sucked. He was talking a little bit more of a southern. I cannot imitate southern. I used to be able to do it when I worked credit card collections. This is a true story. Back in 1995, I worked for Chase Manhattan Bank. A lot of you know this already. And I worked the credit card collection area. And we would call, like, Texas and people all across the United States try to collect on past due payments. That's how Brian Damage, who worked for a cell phone company at the time, actually had pop up on his collections list Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. And Brian Damage, my former hotline host, called Paul Orndorff up and said, look, I'm marked down that you mailed the payment already. If you come on our hotline and do an interview. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. So he comes on at the very end. He's like, from one asshole to another, because he was like, you motherfuckers. Like, how crazy is that? But in 1995, when I'm doing credit card collections, you know, I had to call people in Texas. Now, if I call, you know, and listen, this is not trying to be racist, but we know that most of the phone scams are coming from Calcutta, India. It's just a fact. Majority of the telephone scams are coming from Calcutta. That's it. It's not a racist thing. It's just that's where they're coming from. So when the phone rings and I pick it up, hello, hello, I am Amazon. Hello, I am McAfee. Hello, I am, you know, as soon as I hear the accent, my immediate reaction is, all right, this might be a phone scam. And, you know, I know what to ask to see if they're a scam or not right away. But the thing is that, you know, if they called and with a different accent, a New York or something else, I would be like, hey, the call's probably not fraud. So when I would call people in Texas, you know, I learned very quickly that I called, hey, how you doing? Can I talk to Johnny? Who's this? Oh, this is Anthony. I got to talk to him about a little bit of a billing issue with something. Johnny's not here right now. Oh, okay, okay. Or I'll call up and, yes, how you doing? Can I speak to Robert, please? And they hear the New York accent. You got the wrong number. No, I believe it. Click. But if I called them up and said, hi, must speak to Calvin. Who's this? Oh, this is Jonathan. I talked to him last week. He wanted me to talk to him about buying a tractor. Oh, yeah, sure. Hold on a minute. Hello? Hi, this is this Calvin? Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, how you doing? This is Anthony from Chase Manhattan Bank. Your past due on your credit card payment. Are you going to make a payment or we close your account? That's true. That is true. I don't know if that would jive in 2023. But that's what we used to do in the mid-90s to collect. That's how you do it. So anyway, Brock Lesnar, a little bit pushing the Southern accent tonight. He's mad at Bobby Hu. And he's talking about how he loves to go ice fishing. But he wants to go ice fishing, but he can't get Bobby Hu out of his mind. He wants to go to eat. And he can't even think about anything but Bobby Hu. And then he brings up the no-no, because you're not ever supposed to bring up Sable. And it was fucking hilarious, because he says, when I go crawl into bed with my wife at night. And everybody's like, and then he says right after that, 4 or 5 hours later, I can't stop thinking about Bobby Lashley. So that was fucking funny, because, you know, he's doing the nasty. And he takes out a contract, a multi-million dollar contract, on one sheet of paper, and he challenges Bobby Lashley to Elimination Chamber. Bobby Lashley comes out. Bobby Lashley gets right in his fucking face. Oh, you don't put your finger in Brock Lesnar's face. I don't care who you are. I don't care. No, 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 no. Not even grandma. Like, oh, you got a little pimple on your nose. No, no, no. Bobby Lashley, for some reason, him eliminating Brock at the Royal Rumble means that he is up 2-1. Bobby Lashley says he holds all the cards. He's going to talk to his lawyers. He'll get back to Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar like, oh, fuck yourself, man. Fucking F5, lays him out. One more time, one more time. Now, you know how you know if you're allowed to do it one more time? Obviously, Brock checks with Lashley in a way that you don't notice it on TV. With all due respect, unlike John Moxley, he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll blade. I don't care if you have a close-up. I don't care if you could read the fucking brand of the blade, you know. And we'll talk about John Moxley on Wednesday because I think it's finally time for us to talk about how somebody who is a medium, who prefers to be a medium-sized fish in a small pond than a medium-sized fish in a big pond. We're going to have a little convo Wednesday about John Moxley. It's not going to be shitting on John Moxley, but I think we have to understand now that John Moxley, you know, maybe more for, you know, like small batch. If anybody knows what I'm talking about when I call small batch, like with coffee, like he's more small batch. But that's Wednesday. So anyway, Brock Lesnar, he hits him with an F5, and the crowd is going, one more time, one more time. Now, how you know that the back is fine with it, they don't play the music right away. they don't play the music right away. So Brock checks with Bobby. Bobby's like, yeah, no problem. Brock picks him up and hits him one more time. Interesting, because, you know, Bobby Lashley's still a babyface, but, you know, I think the fans overall prefer Brock Lesnar over Bobby Lashley. So speaking of, you know, Bobby Lashley, it's been a little bit of hinting that he may reunite the Hurt Business with MVP. Now, as of right now, Bobby Lashley don't need nobody's help. You could still reunite the Hurt Business with Bobby Lashley and don't have the others helping him. It's possible. Well, two-thirds of the reformation of the Hurt Business happened tonight. It was really interesting because Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin came off as baby faces tonight. Could MVP possibly be going on the bright side? I'm not necessarily convinced as of yet. But how this all started was this. All right, JBL and Baron Corbin. Earlier in the night, Dexter Lumis beat Baron Corbin. Beat him pretty handily. And after the match is over, after commercial break is over, we see Baron Corbin in the back. He bumps into JBL. And he says to JBL, he says, hey, you know, where are we going to go for dinner? You want to go here? You want to go there? You know, and JBL's like, no. You know, and he's like, come on. You know, we're going to go out. He says, there is no we. And he talks about all the failures that Baron Corbin has had. And he's talking about all his losses. He's talking about his look. He's talking about everything. And you realize, okay, JBL had a short-term contract with WWE. JBL's time is pretty much done. Him helping Baron Corbin might have been similar to Bob Backlund trying to help the Sultan back in the day. Anybody remember that with the Iron Sheik? How weird was that with Bob Backlund and the Iron Sheik together in sync? But JBL with the line of the night, and he's like, you can't polish a turd. You know, so basically he's like, oh, I'll do better. Baron Corbin's like, no, give me another chance. I'll do better. Please give me another chance. And JBL's like, you can't polish a turd. And JBL walks off. Now, while this is happening, if you look on your screen, for those on video only, you know, Baron Corbin's all dejected. I see a couple of dark-skinned wrestlers in the back. And if you zoom in a little bit closer, oh, there is MVP in the back as well. Now, I can only show this for a few seconds, but if you pay very close attention, we see a couple of handshakes. Handshake, handshake. They came out right after that and beat Alpha Academy. Excellent match. I don't like people picking up Otis like he is a bag of groceries, unless it's like Omos or Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar or even Rick Boogs to a certain extent. Nothing against Shelton or Cedric, but watching Otis being picked up and dropped, I didn't like that tonight. But I'm very, very happy that those guys are back together. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes with Omos down the line. We'll see where it goes from here. Tonight also, Candice LeRae finally caught Nikki Cross creeping. She finally caught her creeping because right before the women's fatal four-way determined the final spot in the Elimination Chamber, Dexter Lumis, he's got a little drawing. Oh, that's so cute. Look, it's all of us. Dexter's not in the picture, but wait, who is that girl on the left? Who's that girl? And Candice LeRae's like, who? Wait, who is that? If you look a little bit closely, right to the left ear of Candice LeRae, there is Nikki Cross. This time around, they turn around and Nikki, you know, is there and Candice is like, Nikki? And Nikki just laughs and runs away. Almost like what we talked about when we used to be in kindergarten. You know, you would like lurk in the corner and you looked at a, you know, girl or boy, whichever floats your boat. You know, you're looking, and then you're hiding in the corner, and you peek, and then the person sees you, and you just, like, run away laughing. That's what it looked like tonight. But you know, we want evil. We want sanity. We don't want someone just giggling like, you know, you know, and my God, they might have started this tease of sanity a little bit too early. Let's be honest, a little bit too early. But we got the final spot for the Elimination Chamber tonight. And now that Elimination Chamber, that's better. That looks better. Carmella gets the final spot. I think we all had a feeling. Look, man, even if you don't like Carmella, even if you're not a fan of her work, I mean, you think about In Vitro and what fucking happened to her. I mean, that is devastating. That derailed her career, not just physically, but emotionally. Giving her a spot in the Elimination Chamber is not the end of the world, as long as the female with the face paint is going to WrestleMania. I think we were all perfectly fine with it. It was good to see Carmella back. Did not get the crowd reaction that I expected her to get. I think at the end of the day, Carmella probably wants it that way. She's a heel through and through, but Carmella does win the Fatal 4-Way. Piper Nevin, the former Doudrop, was fabulous in this match. But in the end, it was Carmella getting the upper hand, Candice LeRae being the one pinned. And, you know, after the match is over, a little confrontation in the back with Meechan, Candice LeRae, and Piper Nevin. You know, Piper getting in Candice LeRae's face, Meechan getting in Piper's face. And, yeah, I don't know if Piper Nevin is going to be going for the women's championship anytime soon, even after WrestleMania. Just because they changed the name, you know, it doesn't change the look. It doesn't change the character. It doesn't change the in-ring repertoire. I'm a fan of Piper Nevin, so I don't need to, you know, remind people of that. But she's had her shots before. You know, a little name change may not be enough. But Carmella advances. She goes to Elimination Chamber. And I got to show you something. I was thinking about it today, and somebody brought it to my attention. Because we're going to be doing a contest. Now, I put a little teaser in the comment section for today's show. But I'm not going to advertise it. Because I want someone who tunes into the show regularly win it. We're going to be giving away a couple of Matt Riddle autographed items. Because a lot of you out there are fans of Matt Riddle. I don't have the other things on me right now. They're in my office, but I got the original bro hat. It's straight up from Matt Riddle, WWE. I got that. I have a WWE signed Matt Riddle card that is limited to 10 in the world. It's got a lot of value to it. And an autograph 8x10. Somebody's going to win all three. How we're going to do it is this. The night Matt Riddle returns to television, when we do a recap for that particular night, all you have to do is, in the comment section for that night, just write a comment about something and make sure you put hashtag Riddle. That's all you got to do. Hashtag Riddle, hashtag Matt Riddle, whichever one you want to do. And then we will do a drawing and we'll pick a random winner. So I will tell you this, and this, listen, it's not clickbait. It's not the zero news bullshit. You know, you throw it out there and you wait 4 or 5 months, and then when it happens, see, I was first. That's what everybody's doing. Not everybody. I mean, you got the legitimate reporters out there like Fightful and others, but the others out there, they'll think of wild scenarios and just throw it out there so it's in print. And then if it doesn't happen, oh, WWE changed their plans. No, they never had those fucking plans in the first place, like Gunther and Brock. Although, man, I was thinking about it today. Would you all be fine? Seriously, I'm curious. Would you all be fine if Brock Lesnar was added to the three-way at Mania? If it was a Fatal 4-Way, Brock Lesnar versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. How do you all feel about that? It was just something I was thinking about tonight because I'm thinking to myself, okay, what are you going to do with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Could they possibly go Hell in a Cell with Bobby Lashley? I don't think so. Not for that kind of size of a crowd. I don't see it. But you know, maybe something happens at the Chamber where they still have their Mania match. I'm not saying that the Mania match is off, but we got to think of alternate plans. Bobby Lashley. What happens if Brock is not facing Lashley at WrestleMania? What does Bobby Lashley do at WrestleMania? So Just an idea. My only problem with that is what do you do with Bobby Lashley then? But, you know, I just brought up Matt Riddle. And, you know, Chelsea Green tonight was on Raw. She's arguing with Adam Pearce in the back. Oh, you gave me Swiss chocolates. I said Belgian chocolates. And, you know, I'm going to have a match and I want a quality opponent. I got family out there. That, my friends, last week when I said and wrote, is she a Karen or is she a Carmella? I got a lot of criticism from you all out there saying, no, DT, there's nothing about her that's Carmella. I think 1 week later, I think we could all agree that what I said about Carmella with the champagne and the caviar and the chocolates, and this is an ad that everybody's got to be prim and proper. She is Carmella. She is not Karen. If you see most of the Karens out there, look, all right, my arms are a little bit flabby. I mean, look, if I flex, it's not so bad. You know, if I flex, it's not so bad. But my arms are a little flabby. But you have the Karens out there. You have a look at their arms. You go down and the fucking fat like falls to the floor. You look at the Karens out there, they got more chins than a Chinese restaurant. You know, Karens don't look like Chelsea Green. Carmella's look like Chelsea Green. She's a Carmella. She's not a Karen. Well, Sam says there's only one Carmella. No. Carmella now is not the Carmella from back in the day. She is not with the champagne and the caviar. And this is an act. They have evolved her character. She is now doing what Carmella used to do. So, call your manager again. Karens don't do that about fucking Swiss and Belgian chocolate. They do that. And they're like, that person's got 13 items on it on the express aisle, and it only says 10. And I'm going in front of them. You have a problem with that? You call your manager. I'm not, you know, stupid shit like that. Karen's bitch over the dumbest little things. You know, shut that jungle music. That fucking annoyment. You know, they just, Karens don't bitch about $200, $300 items. So, unless that $300 item was a car. I asked for a car with four wheels, not two. Why does this car just have a rim? Give me your manager. I wanted this car washed. I wanted one of those bug visors on the front. So now I could call collections. Ask for Calvin. Hey, Calvin, pay your fucking credit card bill, you fucking hick dick prick. So Carmella advances, and it is now official. That is your lineup for the Elimination Chamber. Asuka, I think, is going to win it. After the match was over, Bianca comes out, and she's like, look, when I look at that ring, I wonder how Chelsea Green felt. I see six quality women. I thought there was seven out there. You know, Chelsea's not in the chamber, obviously. But basically, Bianca's saying, best woman win. And I was in your place a year ago, and I'll look forward to seeing the winner at WrestleMania. I think we all agree that it's probably going to be Asuka, and I think that's the obvious way to go. So that's good. All right, so now, since I brought up Chelsea Green, we got a little off topic. I was thinking back to August 2018, earlier today, August 2018. And if you remember 2018, 2019, 2020, a lot of the Performance Center, they would have signees every few months. And I was looking at the WWE Performance Center recruit class of August 2018. And this is pretty fucking cool. I want to share with you right now. On the screen right now, if you look, every single person on this list is still or is back with WWE. You got Humberto Carrillo. You got Zion Quinn, Omos, Meechan Mieyim, Chelsea Green, Damian Priest, and Matt Riddle. You know, say what you want about Vince McMahon with creative and stuff like that. Say what you want, but you look back at some of these Performance Center classes that they did in 2017, 2018, 2019. 2020, they went on a crazy, well, 2019, they went on a crazy hiring spree because their stock went to $100 a share. You know, I mean, I know people find shit like this boring, but it's logical. It's common sense. There's still morons out there that are like, oh, could you imagine if Tony Khan and his dad bought the WWE, they can do this. They're not buying it for the obvious reasons. But, you know, you look at WWE in 2018, 2019, especially 2019 when the stock hit $100 a share. They signed 150 people. And then 2020 came around, and then COVID hit, and then they released 100, 150 people. So, but you have to admit that you see who they signed 3, 4, 5 years ago, and now you're seeing those fruits really, really flourish. Some earlier than others. But now when you see NXT, that's why we talked about it over the weekend, the idea that people want NXT to stay on tour. That is disaster waiting to happen. That is so much unnecessary pressure to put on that roster. Those are the stars of tomorrow. I mean, I saw JD from New York, who used to be very critical about Caden Carter, Casey Catanzaro, actually say over the weekend that he thinks that next to Io Shirai and Asuka, they might be the best, or no, Io Shirai, maybe Kairi Sane and Asuka, they might be the best tag team that they've had in a while. You know, that's, you know, on the roster. I mean, you got Sasha and Bayley and others, but that shows you like how far they have come. You see Tiffany Stratton and how far she has come. Bron Breakker, Grayson fucking Waller. And you just go on and on and on. A year ago, people were just shitting on most of the people on the roster. Now, you ask yourself 3, 4, 5 years from now where their place is going to be on the food chain. So they are really, really doing a good job with Stars of Tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, you know, when I was talking about the Riddle contest earlier, be prepared. He's returning extremely soon. I don't want to put the exact date, but I will tell you this. It's happening, should happen this month. And it should happen sooner than later. Let's put it that way. I could give another hint, but it'll give it away almost immediately. But, you know, if I get the okay that I could give the hint, I can. And like I said, it's not clickbait. It's not news. Don't post it anywhere else. Oh, DT's reporting this. No, no, no. He's about to be back. All right, there's a target date, and I don't want to put the target date out there because it would be a nice surprise for everyone. But just so you know, when that date comes, that night we do the contest. I'm not advertising the contest that night, so be prepared. So, you know, Riddle versus Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania, Roderick Howe's asking. We had that conversation yesterday. I think that's going to happen. I think there's a very good chance. I think Riddle will be at the Elimination Chamber. I think he should be at the Chamber. Because remember, Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn, and we'll get to Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman next. Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn is just a straight-up match. It's a straight-up match. There could be DQs involved, and there are going to be interference. Solo Sikoa is going to be at ringside. Somebody has to neutralize Solo Sikoa. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, it could be Kevin Owens. It could be this, could that. I get it. But I think there's got to be interaction with Matt Riddle and Solo Sikoa to set up a match at Mania. Will it happen? I don't know, but I think it should. Okay. My favorite segment of the night. That's why I'm wearing a dusty shirt tonight. Honestly, I was wearing something else. And I was like, you know what? No, 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 no. I have to go in my fucking closet. I got to get the dusty shirt. Dusty, we all love you. Absolutely. Although, like I said, this did not make the wall. Somebody sent it to me. To me, it looks like a pair of 5 dice. It doesn't look like a dice. It doesn't look like Dusty's polka dots. Somebody sent it to me. Oh, this is Dusty. I said, no, it's not. It's a pair of dice. So we'll find something nice. We'll put Dusty on the wall soon. But Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman tonight. I love Sami Zayn. I used to hate Sami Zayn. The shit that he said early in the pandemic pissed me the fuck off. You all know that. I own up to that. I own up to it. But that guy has given me the vibes, not only Daniel Bryan with the Yes Movement, but even Mick Foley when he first won the WWF Championship, because that love and that connection with the fans, when fans just want you to go right to the top, even though it may not be the best, you know, scenario possible, that's something special. And the story of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn coming together, having that hug, you can see people crying in the crowd. They have to hold those titles high at Mania. And that'll be a moment that 5 years, 10 years from now, people will always remember as something magical and special. You put Sami Zayn at the main event at WrestleMania as part of a 3-way with Cody or something like that. What the fuck does that do with Kevin Owens? Nobody thinks about that. Sami Zayn could become WWE champion this year, next year, the year after. Maybe it doesn't happen, you know, but the point is the whole storyline. If you have trusted WWE up until now with this storyline, whether Vince was at the helm and Triple H is at the helm or a combination thereof or the before, after, whatever you want to say, if you have enjoyed it this far, understand the matches at WrestleMania were always set to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. Those were the matches that were planned 4, 5, 6 months ago. That's fact. That is a fact. So if you love what you have watched on TV leading up until now, understand that every little thing that has happened has been happened with the back of their mind that they're going this direction. So if you have enjoyed everything unbelievable, you know, epic, the best storyline writing in 20, 30 years, whatever you want to choose, then trust them to have these matches go down at WrestleMania. Sami Zayn leaving the bloodline, you know, getting abused, this, this, and that, you root for him. But you realize tonight that Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, the deep love of Paul Heyman to Cody, you know, Dusty training Roman, you know, they're taking it, there's a raw, real personal aspect of it. There are so many different, you know, layers to peel. It's not just Cody signed with WWE to become champion and the Rhodes family, you know, has a WWE heavyweight championship. It wasn't just that. There's so many different layers to peel. With Sami Zayn, there's really one layer to peel. Kick Roman Reigns' ass, you know, and that's it. That's it. You know, my dog. I mean, it was awesome. We all loved it. But the end game was always Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. If plans changed and they decided to go in a different direction, we would not have had a lot of what we've seen on TV. The Jey Uso storyline right now, where they don't know if he's going to show up. Didn't we say that 2 weeks ago with Royal Rumble predictions? That when Jey walked out that night on the recap, we said, now, you know, what's going to happen? He's not going to show up. Is Solo going to take his spot in the match? What if he shows up? What if he not appearing causes more meltdown in the bloodline? Ultimately, I think Jey Uso turns on Sami Zayn also. Bloodline, thicker than anything else. But Cody Rhodes tonight, first of all, before we get into the details, he comes out, cuts a promo, congratulates Sami Zayn for getting a title shot at Elimination Chamber. Now, Cody's promo about Sami Zayn tonight was very important because of something that we said last week, and we weren't the only ones. A lot of people out there said it. You out there said it as well. We know Roman Reigns is beating Sami Zayn. Or I should rephrase that. We know Roman Reigns is keeping his titles. Could be a DQ, sure. Could be, absolutely. Maybe Kevin Owens gets involved. Maybe Sami Zayn doesn't want to break a hold. Maybe Sami just uses weapons and the crowd pops. Montreal's going to be fucking losing their shit that night. Could end up in a DQ. But in the end, Roman's keeping those belts. Yes, we're going to watch Elimination Chamber anyway, you know, regardless. But we know what the outcome is. So Cody coming out tonight and saying that more and more it looks like I'm going to be facing Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. Cody tonight helped Sami Zayn. Gives that suspension of disbelief that Cody thinks that Sami Zayn has a legitimate shot of beating Roman Reigns at Mania. We know that's not going to happen. But still, Cody's promo tonight helped Sami Zayn with the storyline. So he's talking about winning the Royal Rumble. Again, pay attention to that crowd. You got this weird group of people online that are trying to convince all of us that fans are turning on Cody Rhodes. I've read wrestling news sites writing articles that fans in droves are turning against Cody Rhodes, that Cody Rhodes may have to turn heel. And say, shut the fuck up. See, it's just, it's nonsense. It's bizarro land. It's just it doesn't fit their mold. So instead of just having an opinion that's unpopular, they try to turn it into a news item. Listen to that crowd react to Cody Rhodes. That reaction is not changing between now and Mania because you have Roman Reigns involved with this. You have Paul Heyman involved with this. Those motherfuckers will make sure that Cody remains cheered. Roman fucking up Sami Zayn upped his heelness by a tenfold, a thousandfold. And then something goes down in Elimination Chamber. Cody will probably get the seal of approval from Sami Zayn. Beat his fucking ass at WrestleMania. Sami gives Cody his seal of approval after all this is done. You see. So now we get a surprise tonight from Paul Heyman. And I don't even need notes with this. Paul Heyman comes out and he says that, you know, he's always been a fan and he has unwavering love for Dusty. And he said, on behalf of the tribal chief and myself, I wish you congratulations on winning the Royal Rumble and getting the shot at WrestleMania. He also, you know, tries to give a little sympathy about himself and Roman Reigns. And he says, you know, one day you'll realize that life at the top is hardest the week after the Royal Rumble, the week after WrestleMania. And Paul's talking about, you know, what's happened with Roman Reigns in the last 7 days. And then after they shake hands, Cody Rhodes says, you know what? Let's pull the curtain back a little bit. He calls himself a disruptor. And he says, listen, you know, there's no secret where I've been from one disruptor to another disruptor. And he says that he has a nickname for Paul Heyman. He never shared what that nickname was. Now, I know he called him Mr. Heyman, okay? But there might be another nickname that may come back later on in this storyline leading up to Mania. But Cody calls him Mr. Heyman. I prefer to call you Mr. Heyman. And he says, you know what? Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. He says, I want to tell you all a story. And he talks about the year 2000. The year 2000, the Rhodes family was broke. All right. Dustin, you know, he has his own life. Cody, you know, was still a lot younger. You know, think back. We're talking 23 years ago. And Dusty Rhodes was near bankrupt, $100 in a checking account. And he was talking about how Dusty would do car commercials. And some of them are on YouTube. Go look them up. He used to do car commercials, not so he could make money, but so he could keep the car, so they wouldn't repossess the car. And he said, out of nowhere in 2000, Paul Heyman gave him a call. And he said, listen, you know, we got ECW, and Steve Corino is going to say a couple of bad words about you, and I would love, Dusty, for you to show up and have a confrontation with him and do more, and I will pay you, and I will pay you well. And despite all the money problems that ECW had at that time, crazy money problems, when it came to certain people, though, Paul Heyman would pay them. I know that may sound kind of selfish, and there's probably some former ECW stars right now that are like, mother, but it's Dusty. So Paul Heyman paid Dusty Rhodes and paid him well, and Dusty had a little bit of a stint in ECW. And Cody Rhodes never forgot that. And as Cody is telling this story, you really can't see it very, very closely here. And sure, I could zoom in, but I think Paul Heyman would probably send me a DM and say, why did you zoom in my face that bad? Do you see what my face looks like? No, but Paul Heyman started crying. And when Cody was saying a lot of love and respect for Paul Heyman, the crowd started chanting, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. And Paul Heyman is looking at the crowd, and Paul Heyman could feel the difference of fans just chanting his name just for the fuck of it, for the fun of the show. But the emotions were felt. And he was legitimately crying. And you know, it was awesome. It was real. And then Paul Heyman, he turns around and he says, you know what? Since we're pulling the curtain back, let's pull it all the way. And he starts talking, and he starts talking about Dusty again. And he said, you know, your father, you know, he prepped and he trained the Stars of Tomorrow. He prepped and he trained Seth Rollins. He prepped and he trained Becky Lynch. He prepped and he trained Bayley. He prepped and he trained Kevin Owens. He prepped and he trained Roman Reigns. But he did not prep you. And Paul Heyman says, look, maybe he didn't prep you because he wanted you to do it on your own. He felt that you could do this on your own. You could get to the top. You could do this. You could do that. Maybe that's why your father didn't prep you. But the last conversation I ever had with your father is that he always thought Cody was his favorite son. But Dusty Rhodes told Paul Heyman that he always felt Roman Reigns was the son he never had. And as emotional and as real as Paul Heyman got, crying, even trying to get out of it by joking, say, ah, you got me. You got me. I came on here to, you know. But in the end, Paul Heyman fucking grabbing Cody by the nuts and twisting his nuts. I mean, just verbally pissing him off. So Cody walks up to Paul Heyman, sticks out his hand again. Paul Heyman, you know, he's kind of cautious. Cody grabs his hand, shakes it again, and pulls him up close and says to Paul Heyman that all I ever wanted to do is win the championship, and everybody wants to make it personal. And at WrestleMania, he's going to take those titles from Roman Reigns, and it is going to be personal. And Cody looks focused. Paul Heyman looks extremely concerned. And it was the talk of the night. Easily my favorite. All right, I'm just going to do this once. The Cycle 187, and everybody keeps saying this for the last 2 weeks, Cody comes in at number 30. He didn't deserve it, this, this, and that. Cody Rhodes had over 10 minutes with Gunther. All right, so he had a match inside the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes has been wrestling for over a decade. Cody Rhodes has, it's not even an argument, you know. People have come in at number 30 over the years and have won things. People make a return and they win a title the same night. You know, he has earned it. He has earned it. The crowd is into it. He's a legitimate main eventer. The guy's put on unbelievable performances since being on the roster, and the majority of people out there have bought into it. And look, if that was a negotiation piece to bring him back, that's fine. That's fine. But he went toe-to-toe with Gunther, and that was, and if you, I've said it tonight on a recap, if you took Cody Rhodes versus Gunther, splice that from the match, and just watch that in itself, I think Meltzer probably rated four and a half stars. That was within Mania itself. Somebody's got to be number 30. You know, somebody's got to be number 29. The only difference between number 25 and number 30 is what, 6.5 minutes? No, 7.5 minutes. So people come in at number 23, 24, 25, and they're in there 10 minutes and they win. Nobody says a thing. Somebody comes in at number 30, stays in there for 15 minutes, wins, and then people say they don't deserve it. You know, everybody has their opinion, and that's cool. But, you know, when you start breaking down numbers, it's not simply based on minutes and seconds. So spectacular confrontation tonight. And this put the exclamation point as to why Roman Reigns does not take on Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. It gave the exclamation point why Roman Reigns does not become a three-way at WrestleMania with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens finishing their story and winning the tag team championships and hugging and seeing grown adults crying in the crowd and seeing that in the end, their relationship never was broken. That is going to be more powerful than Sami Zayn getting revenge on Roman Reigns and winning the championship at Mania. And I'll tell you something else. Rey Mysterio. And if you think that I'm making it up, you could check out some of the archives of my shows from back in the day. When Rey Mysterio, because I was podcasting back then, when Rey Mysterio won the heavyweight championship, think of the Eddie Guerrero aspect of that storyline and Rey's rise to the heavyweight championship. It was a very powerful, inspirational story. If you look at the WWE television leading up to the moment that Rey Mysterio became world heavyweight champion, the crowd was passionately behind Rey. The crowds were into Rey. They still are gigantically into Rey. Rey is going to go down as one of the greatest babyfaces in the history of pro wrestling, period. But at that time, if you watch the whole storyline of Rey coming and winning the championship, the crowd was behind it, you know, majority. Once he won the championship, you go look at the news articles, you go look at the columns, you go look at the forums that are still, archives are still online, go on Wayback Machine if you want. There was such a backlash in a matter of a week or two, like, okay, now what? And people are like, yeah, I don't know if he should have won a heavyweight title. So it's not just getting there, it's then what? And Rey Mysterio, you know, if you notice, you know, he hasn't really held heavyweight gold for the most part after that. Didn't he get it like one night and then Cena like took it right off him or something? Then when CM Punk walked away, none of this is throwing shade on Rey. But the point is that, you know, you can have a very passionate, emotional, you know, storyline you're attached to, but you got to think of the bigger picture and what happens after. And I'll say this before we go on. As far as Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, I think that the reason why they're going to be fighting an Elimination Chamber is because of the WWE sale that they're trying to do. You know, a lot of people still haven't figured it out. They still haven't figured it out. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Brandon Thurston, but I saw his Twitter page today, and they're focusing on Tony Khan saying that, you know, a sale could happen within 3 months. And I know people know what Nick Khan said about it. But, you know, people aren't stupid. And there's no controversy about that. Here's the facts. And I've said this at least 15 times already. But for some reason, people are either intentionally ignoring this comment, you know, in the back of their minds, or they're just ignorant and stupid. And I don't think these people are ignorant and stupid. And I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about the whole news world. WWE has to negotiate TV rights with NBC Universal, with the Fox deal, and with USA Network. They have to negotiate it. It runs out next year. They have to negotiate. And they're not going to negotiate 2 weeks before. Hey, my auto policy is coming up for renewal. Oh, you know, I'll shop it around, you know, the week before. And worst comes to worst, I'll just sign the deal. No, this could take a while, especially if both sides are far apart on their numbers. What happens if Fox turns around and says, look, you know, the ratings have been good, but you know what? You know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we want to cut it back 30%. WWE can't just turn around and say, oh, fuck you. We're going to go. Where are they going to go? TNN? You know, the media rights deals are crucial. Fucking crucial. If the WWE is not sold by a certain time frame, which should be summer, if WWE is not sold by the summer, they're going to pull the deal. They're going to pull it off the market. WWE's not for sale right now. We have to now focus on media rights. Because if you, in the summertime, find a buyer, okay? All right, you're in July now. You find a buyer. Whoever it is. Maybe I win Powerball and I could buy it. Anybody. Comcast, Saudi Arabia, Tony Khan, Kermit the Frog, whoever you want. You find a buyer in the summertime. it still takes 3 months with all paperwork and transferring this and this and that. It takes, so now you go August, September, October. And there's no media rights deals being negotiated. So now you're approaching the fall months and close to winter months of 2023. And still there's no media rights deals. If WWE has a potential buyer, they can't negotiate TV deals on the side. And a potential buyer can't negotiate because they don't own the company yet. So if WWE is not sold by a certain time frame, they have to pull it off the market because they have to now focus on the media rights deals. That's just the fact. It's boring, but that's the fact. There's no controversy behind it. And if they don't find a buyer by the summertime, they pull it off the market. Then they negotiate the TV deals. And then once they negotiate and ink the TV deals, then a potential buyer could buy it. But let's use Comcast, for example. Would Comcast want to buy WWE if they just inked a 3-year deal with USA Network? Would Comcast want to buy WWE if they inked a 3-year deal with Fox? So this is why the sale has to happen before media rights. You have to give the new buyer ample chance to try to negotiate with the existing networks if they don't have their own network. If Comcast buys it and they put it on their own network, then that's it. WWE stays on the USA Network, stays on Fox until their deal runs out, probably. That'll probably be the scenario. And then they go to the new owner's streaming service, whatever it is. If something is worked out where the deals are terminated earlier, that's different. But believe me, I tell you, they're not going to leave Fox and the USA Network early because those entities paid to keep them up to a certain time. So even if a sale goes down, it's not going to kick in until these deals, I'm telling you, they got to all work everything out. So that's why I think they might be stacking up Elimination Chamber like they are, because doesn't it feel like they are really stacking the chamber? I mean, let's be honest. We know Asuka is the odds-on favorite to win the Elimination Chamber. She is. On the men's side, here is your lineup. Montez Ford and Damian Priest got the final two spots tonight. So now your Elimination Chamber for the United States Championship is Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, and Montez Ford. Maybe Austin Theory loses that championship in the chamber so he could feud with John Cena at WrestleMania. And John Cena may go over on Austin Theory. A lot of people think that John Cena should do the favors for Austin Theory. We are way too soon to be talking about that. But the thing is, Austin Theory could legitimately drop this title at Elimination Chamber. But, you know, if you now think about Edge and Beth Phoenix returning and the fact that, you know, Becky Lynch doesn't even have a match at the chamber, and it's some quality people that don't have a match at the chamber. You see, now they're putting Brock and Bobby Lashley at the chamber. You have Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns at the chamber. You got two chamber matches. You know, they are really loading this up. And I think this is to just, you know, there's a little saying that sometimes you have to, you know, lose money to make money. Sometimes you got to spend money to make money. And sometimes you got to give away to get. And I'll give you a good example, Mandy Rose. I watch people that have no sense of business laughing at Mandy Rose for the last week because Mandy Rose offered her fan time page for free for 1 week, gave people the opportunity to get a trial month for free. Oh, look, the bloom is off the rose and blah, 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 blah. Mandy Rose, oh, yeah, yeah, she'll be crying to WWE, take me back. I have my insurance business now since 1998. When I opened up in 1998, I decided I was not going to charge anybody broker's fees. Now, you know, $50, $100, you add on to a policy. If it's a big policy, $300, $500, whatever it is. I said I'm not going to charge broker's fees. I had this big sign in my window that said no broker's fees. And I said, transfer your policy to me. Now, if you have an auto policy right now, or a homeowner's policy, or a commercial policy, and you switch over to me, and you already have that policy, until that policy comes up for renewal, the prior broker makes all the money. So what do I benefit about servicing your policy for the next 11 months, and I don't charge you nothing? And then when it renews, I still don't charge you nothing. Because at the end of 11 months, if you're happy with me, you stay with me, when you renew, now I make money. I got so many people who changed their brokers to me, and I serviced their policy, and I was able to keep probably about 80% of all the people that signed over. So Mandy Rose offering free for people who have not signed up, the idea is they're enjoying themselves so much that they'll probably stick around once it comes up for renewal, even for a month. Sometimes you got to spend money to make money. And that's what she did. And with WWE right now, you know, paying big money, you know, to have, you know, these cards even big. Look at how many, there's 50,000 people plus at the Royal Rumble. You see what's going to happen at the Chamber. They are trying every single week to make everything look as big as it possibly can, to show how much they're on a roll. The stock market, this, everything. It's all about the perception. That's why everything feels, it almost feels like WrestleMania is the next event, not Elimination Chamber. So I think this is why they're really starting to load up Elimination Chamber. And Brock versus Bobby Lashley at the Chamber surprised the shit out of me today. Maybe they still have the match at Mania, but I think that's why they are really loading up this Chamber. And if you notice, all focus is on the Chamber. Sure, WrestleMania too, but really the focus is on the Chamber. Big. You would think a Saudi Arabia event was coming up the way that they're pushing this. So, and you realize too, you know, it's nothing against Sasha. It's nothing against Naomi. It's nothing against anybody who's not in the company right now. You know, they are making insane money right now and selling out buildings and arenas and 10,000 this and whatever. You know, you keep those extra bullets, you know, stored away. You know, you have food, you keep some in the closet in case, you know, the power is out or this. So those options. Somebody leaves, no problem. Maybe we could work out something with Mercedes and she comes back. Oh, this person leaves, no problem. That person's contract is coming up in AEW. Maybe we could pull them in. Wednesday, we'll talk about that little cryptic note that the Young Bucks put on their social media and quickly deleted it. I got the screenshot before they deleted it, teasing that they might be out of AEW within a year. So, you know, there's a lot to talk about. All right, so let's start bringing this home because we're actually getting late early. So Miz and Rick Boogs, little backstage. And, you know, every couple of weeks or months, I get this question on my shows. Like, who from today would have been great back in, like, the 80s or even the 90s? And honestly, I look at Rick Boogs. He reminds me like a combination of Scott Hall and Freddie Mercury. You know, like, I think Rick Boogs would have fit in like the NWA or the AWA back in the 80s. He is such a throw. Did he call himself Thick Rick tonight? Thick Rick? Is that where they're going with this? Thick Rick? Rick Boogs looks old school. But, you know, Miz telling him, oh, if I had my gear, I would have beat you. So Adam Pearce sets up a match next week. And Miz will also be doing Miz TV next week with Seth Rollins. I already know what the topic is going to be. Be prepared. Miz is going to talk about Logan Paul. That's where they'll be going with that. Plant the seed early. See how the crowd reacts to it. See Seth Rollins' feelings on Logan Paul. That's where they're going to go with that next week. As I said earlier, Chelsea Green, you know, she's there and she's given a little bit of problems to Adam Pearce. She wants this. She wants that. She's got a match. I want a good opponent. So Asuka comes out there and beats her pretty convincing. you know, all the members in the chamber, all around ringside, and, you know, it leads to Bianca coming out and wishing them all good luck and everything. But Chelsea Green, you know, I like the character. I just think her consistently losing, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, you know, you want to see somebody like that lose. You want to see somebody like that get smacked the fuck up. But at some point, you don't want to be her to be, you know, the person who, you know, you just want to see lose and lose. You don't want her to be the female Baron Corbin. You don't want her to be Lucky Corbin with breasts and a vagina, you know. So we'll see what happens. Montez Ford beat Elias. Austin Theory was at ringside. They showed Austin Theory early on showing up in some black sports car. The guy looks like $1 million. You could see that they have now put the Jets behind Austin Theory. Then you're going to have John Cena come in, and you know that in itself is going to be really, really interesting. Got to see John Cena cutting promos with Austin Theory. You know, will we possibly get that moment like John Cena had with The Rock? I'm not saying that John Cena would have post-it notes written on his hands, but, you know, when John Cena was cutting promos with The Rock and rattled The Rock that night, nobody ever thought that that would happen. Do you think there's any chance that Austin Theory could be so fucking confident on the mic that he could rattle John Cena? I don't know, but I like what I see so far. So Montez Ford beats Elias. I don't think there was any surprise there. And after the match is over, Seth Rollins shows up. And my God, I don't know if this hurt Austin Theory or not. Just look at Austin Theory's head bang against the floor. Oh my goodness. That might be one of the most vicious curb stomps that I've ever seen. Not involving steel steps or anything like that. His head bounced, and he put his arm underneath his side. It just looked tremendous. But Seth Rollins showing up, causing a little bit of problems because of the Elimination Chamber. They're both in the chamber. So, you know, very, very good night tonight. As I said earlier, Alpha Academy loses to Shelton and Cedric, and Dexter Lumis loses to Baron Corbin. And that was pretty much, you know, your night, except for the main event. And the main event, you know, it was hyped for, you know, since Raw 30. And I'm glad that they decided to do it tonight. Because all the focus was around the cage match, Becky Lynch versus Bayley. Now, guys, I want to ask you all a question, because this may have to do with record books. Do you consider War Games a cage match? Do you consider War Games a cage match? Yes or no? And just write in the chat very quickly so we could move on quickly. Yes or no? Do you consider War Games a cage match? All right. So we got more yeses than nos. Type. I'll explain why. If it's even to some degree. All right. So basically you're like, yeah, I guess. I think, is that fair to say? Okay. If you want to put it in the category of a cage match, then technically, Becky Lynch made history tonight. Becky Lynch is the first woman, I'm probably just on the women's side, probably not overall, but she is the first woman to not only be in a cage match on Raw and on SmackDown, but she was also on a pay-per-view as well, premium live event, whatever you want to call it. So Becky Lynch has been featured on cage matches for Raw, SmackDown, and premium live events. You know, it's not like a tremendous feat, but impressive nonetheless. So I had it prepared to see what your reactions were. But they had about 15 minutes. And Becky teasing early on that she might have a backup plan to negate Io Sky and Dakota Kai. And there was reports early that Lita was there. So we have the cage match, and they're really, you know, brawling. Io Sky and Dakota Kai getting involved towards the end. Becky Lynch at one point tries to climb over the cage, and Io Sky climbs up the cage and, you know, starts brawling with Becky on top, knocks her off the cage. Io Sky takes Singapore Kane and, oh no, actually it was a crutch, her crutch that she was holding because of her injury. She gives the crutch through the cage to Bayley to use on Becky Lynch. So now they're causing chaos. And the next thing you know, Lita's music hits. And I'm not going to lie to you, man. Listen, I'm a fan of Lita's, and I'm not throwing shade, but this is the vibe that I got today. I got the same vibe tonight when she came out as when Jeff Hardy made his AEW debut. Do you remember when Matt was getting beat down in the ring? I mean, getting beat the fuck down, and Jeff's music hits, and he comes out, and everybody's losing their shit. And instead of just bolted to the ring and saving the day, he's like, you know, whatever he does, he's doing his whole thing. Lita, when she came out there to help Becky Lynch tonight, I don't know. She was like, you know, doing a thing and running down. She's smiling this and that. And I'm like, I don't know. It gave me the same vibes as Jeff Hardy when he debuted in AEW. And I've seen it lighthearted. I'm smiling. I'm not complaining. I'm like, oh, fucking stupid. I thought it was funny. But she comes out and she gets into it with Io Sky at ringside. Io Sky, you know, when she was standing on the cage waiting for Lita to throw her, pull her off, it was, you know, a little timing was a little bit off, but she gets the better of Io Sky. Then she fights with Dakota Kai with the other crutch, and she pulls it away, and Dakota Kai falls on the floor, and she's acting like she can't move around, and in the end, Bayley ends up getting Becky Lynch, she hits her with the slam and pins her in the middle of the ring. Does not climb the cage. And she wins. Becky Lynch, you know, Lita to save the day. Becky looks exhausted. She's hugging Lita. Look, obviously Lita is a very big inspiration to Becky Lynch. And look, Lita looks great, man. You remember Saudi Arabia? Do you remember all of our conversations that night? So many people thought, oh, Lita, she's back. She's going to stay for a little while. Maybe she'll go for this or that, this. And most of us felt like, nah, it was the Saudi Arabia payday and that was it. And she disappeared. And she disappeared again. I mean, you know, the clock is ticking on, you know, some wrestlers. You know, you think everybody brings up, on occasion, Tessa Blanchard, you bring up this person, that person, this person. You know, it's not so many years that, you know, some wrestlers have left. And Lita, she still has, I think, enough in the tank to be able to do a little bit. So, you know, this was not Legends Night tonight. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that this leads to something a little bit more with Lita. Could we possibly get Becky Lynch and Lita versus Sky and Kai at WrestleMania? I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not saying it's bad, but it kind of feels a little bit thrown together. I don't know. You know, I don't know the extent of Dakota Kai's injury. I don't think Sky and Kai are dropping titles anytime soon, but you know, something to think about in the back of your mind. But, you know, it was nice to see Lita tonight. Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman. There was some really, really good moments today. Now, next week, we're going to have Raw versus SmackDown. You're going to have Nikki Cross, Carmella, and Asuka teaming up against Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan, and Natalya. Those are the members in the Elimination Chamber. As I said earlier, Rick Boogs and Miz go at it. Miz will have Seth Rollins on Miz TV. And then the contract signing for the Elimination Chamber, we're going to have Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. And I'm still, I'm telling you, I'm kind of like blown away by that. Doesn't it feel like a Royal Rumble? Think about this for a minute. Royal Rumble, you had two Rumble matches. Then you had the heavyweight title match. And then you had the women's title match. And then we had, you know, an additional match as well. But it was basically title matches, two Rumble matches. Here, title match, two chamber matches. It almost feels like they're using a similar template that they did with the Royal Rumble. So But now tomorrow in NXT, believe it or not, Bayley will be on. She's going to be hosting a Ding Dong Hello segment with Toxic Attraction. That is going to be interesting because some of you think that Toxic Attraction may officially be split and split for good. I think they will reconcile. They should reconcile unless they want to push Gigi Dolin as possibly a main eventer. You know, and a lot of people think that they should go to the main roster. If they go to the main roster, Toxic Attraction needs to go to the main roster as a tag team. You do not bring them as single stars. As much as Gigi Dolin was cheered at Vengeance Day, which we all knew that was going to happen, she ain't going to leapfrog about a dozen wrestlers on Raw and SmackDown right now. She goes to that main roster, she's going to have to wait her turn. And waiting her turn doesn't mean she beats Dana Brooke every single week. So you put them as a tag team on the main roster, they definitely have much more leeway to win and win often. So now, main event tonight, we had Dana Brooke over Indy Hartwell, speaking of Dana. The OC over the Creed Brothers, which is interesting. AEW Dynamite this Wednesday. I don't know. There's something off about their banners lately. They just look a little bit sloppy. I don't know. Doesn't it seem a little bit sloppy? But you got the Elite taking on Top Flight and AR Fox. We know what the outcome is there. Jamie Hayter versus the Bunny for Eliminator match. I think we know the outcome there. Brian Danielson against Roosh. You know the outcome there, but we want to see it because the match is going to be banging. Of course, Ricky Starks. He's got to face, you know, three or four members of the Jericho Appreciation Society to get to Jericho for the pay-per-view. There ain't no way Ricky Starks is going to lose that. So we know pretty much the outcome there. MJF versus Takeshka. You know, it's for the championship. No, it's an eliminator match. But the only way I see MJF losing is if Bryan Danielson shows up and MJF gets distracted and Takeshka maybe with a fruit roll-up. It's the only way I see MJF losing, and I honestly can't picture MJF losing right before a pay-per-view, because you know what's going to happen, everyone. If Takeshka wins, even if it's a fruit roll-up, you'll have a ton of people on the net. Oh, he deserves a title shot. He won the match. You know, you should add him to the pay-per-view, and, you know, you get that narrative. And I don't know if AEW really wants to push Takeshka as a main eventer. I know some people think that that's going to happen. It's like the conversation we had yesterday about Swerve Strickland. We all love Swerve Strickland, and that guy is definitely, he's probably been the one that has shined the most for me. That's, you know, that was released from WWE that went to AEW. But I don't see AEW ever putting Swerve Strickland headlining a pay-per-view. No fucking way. And that's a shame because he should. But for me, the match that I'm a little bit undecided about is the Guns versus the Acclaimed. Because I think, as we said yesterday, you know, it's no longer going to be scissor me, daddy S. It's going to be turn on me, daddy S. So does Billy Gunn turn on the Acclaimed tomorrow and reunite with his sons? That could very well happen. Now, ratings, just very quickly. I want to give you just a week in ratings. And I decided to do something a little different. You let me know if you like it. Maybe we'll just leave it simple like this. Maybe we'll expand. NXT's rating last week was 587, down from 607. Raw last week was 2,114,000, down from the week before, it's 2,344,000. Obviously down because we had Raw 30 the week before. Now, what I did to condense was to tell you what was the highest quarter of that night and what was the lowest quarter of that night. And it does show you something that we already know. We already know. And it's not even, you know, controversial. The highest rated segment of Raw last week was Rhea Ripley's announcement and Seth Rollins' interview in the back. Remember when he was asked, Kathy Kelly asked him about, you know, what do you feel about Logan Paul eliminating you? And he just walked off, didn't say nothing. That quarter did 2,259,000. So it was the biggest quarter of the entire 3 hours. The lowest quarter of the entire 3 hours, Cody Rhodes versus Finn Balor, that only did 1,880,000. Shows you how much of a drop. What does that tell you? People are just exhausted and Raw better, listen, WWE sold, I think it goes back to 2 hours. I think Raw goes back to 2 hours. I think 3 hours is just too much. And you put on, even the cage match tonight, there's no way that cage match is going to be rocking one of the higher ratings of the entire night. I would be blown away, shocked if that's the case. Now, SmackDown Friday did 2,384,000. That is down from last week's 2,544,000. But that was the week before was the go home show for the Royal Rumble. But still, almost 2,400,000 is a great number. Rampage did 406,000, down from last week's 458,000. We don't have the quarters yet on those. If we get them by Wednesday, I'll tell you what was the high and low points for that as well. But Dynamite last week did 901,000, which is down from 1,000,003. Not a big drop, but what was the lowest quarter of the night? I don't want to do highest quarter of Dynamites anymore, because the lead-in from the Big Bang Theory always has about 100,000 to 200,000 viewers who just didn't change the channel at exactly 8 o'clock. It's like 90%, 95% of the Dynamites, the highest quarter is the lead-in from the Big Bang Theory. So you honestly don't know legit if it warrants the highest quarter or it's just a whole bunch of viewers that haven't changed the channel yet. So I'm just going to give you the lowest quarter. And the lowest quarter was Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet and the interview segment with Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Ruby Soho. That quarter did 815,000. So well below the normal, the average for that night. So, you know, a lot of people keep saying that the women's wrestling quarters in AEW draw extremely low, and that does, you know, stay consistent. I want to see them do a women's match to open up Dynamite. Let's see if it affects that lead-in from the Big Bang Theory. Seriously, I would like to see Saraya or somebody be in a women's match to open up a Dynamite. I don't think we've seen that yet. So, all right. This week in wrestling history, tomorrow I am going to be dropping your next episode, which would be episode number 6, because we are in week 6. Here's a quick photo preview of this week. And as you will see, there was some magical, memorable moments. Hold on, let me fix that. Okay, here you go. All right, what's that all about with Brian Pillman? We see Sting in a Four Horsemen. We go a little bit further. Vince McMahon and Steve Austin, Goldberg versus William Regal. Look at Lita with Papi Chulo. Yeah, Wrestling Society X. I know Joey Ryan's on the cover. This is the picture from a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Also, we're going to celebrate Daniel Bryan. It was, you know, this week in history, Daniel Bryan announced his retirement from wrestling, and there was the hashtag, thank you, Daniel Bryan. And that was a big deal. Look at that. It's this week in history that Sami Zayn took on Kevin Owens for the NXT Heavyweight Championship. We had Jake the Snake Roberts and The Undertaker. He turned. So I have the synopsis in front of me. And as I go through the synopsis here, just to see some of the audio, Jerry the King Lawler versus Hulk Hogan from Memphis, Tennessee. Midnight Rider beats Ric Flair to win the NWA Heavyweight title and then surrenders the title. Andre the Giant, I know this has been all over the net today, beats Hulk Hogan. You know, he gives the belt to Ted DiBiase. And then Ted DiBiase, having that title for a short period of time. Larry Zbysko winning the AWA championship in a very confusing battle royal. You'll hear the audio for that. Unfortunately, this week in history, Kerry Von Erich was arrested for falsifying Valium and Vicodin prescriptions. He had a blank pad of prescriptions, and he was filling them out, signing a doctor's name, and he was going to different pharmacies and filling different bottles. And they caught him, and he got arrested over it. So it was pretty fucked up. Undertaker stops Jake the Snake Roberts from chair bashing Miss Elizabeth, and this was the Undertaker's first babyface turn. I think this is the week with Sid Vicious and some of his wacky promos in WCW. Ric Flair wrestles his last series of matches before leaving WWF to go to WCW. Kevin Sullivan versus Brian Pillman, the respect match. That's when Brian Pillman says, "I respect you, Booker man," and he exits. That happened this week. Vince McMahon wrestles his first ever match on Raw Saturday night. You will hear that match as well. Lita makes her WWF debut. That happened this week in wrestling history. Kurt Angle slams Mae Young and then shows EMS her puppies. So what's that all about? Oh, yeah, that's right. Kurt Angle, I remember that. He gave an angle slam to Mae Young, and they put her on a stretcher, and she's in the EMS, and she's like, "Look, puppies!" And she, I remember the face, the reaction of the EMS guy. Oh, this is great. Chris Jericho cutting a memorable promo on Viscera with that. I don't know what that's all about. The Rock with Kevin Kelly making fun of Big Show, DX, and the Radicals. Scott Steiner's promo on Nitro when he was ripping Ric Flair in WCW and said he'd rather change the channel and watch Steve Austin on Raw. Remember that promo? Because WCW sucks. That happened this week. We had the pose down between Billy and Chuck versus Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson. Ring of Honor had their first ever anniversary show. Wrestling Society X tapes their first pilot. TNA Against All Odds, a couple of pay-per-views. Chris Jericho, the altercation with the fans at a house show in Canada. Do you remember that? I think it was Canada, right? When he was leaving the parking lot and people wanted to take pictures with him, and I think he shoved a girl, and he was like, you know, "The fuck?" And he was like, "Security, do your fucking job." Remember that? That happened this week. And a lot of what I'm telling you is audio, so you'll be able to hear all this stuff go down. NXT TakeOver, like we said, with Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Bobby Lashley leaves TNA to pursue an MMA career. WWE signs Chris Hero. Daniel Bryan's retirement speech from SmackDown. Titus O'Neil suspended by WWE. Didn't Titus O'Neil go to, like, touch Vince McMahon or something, and he, like, pushed him aside? Wasn't that what happened? I think that's what happened, right? And Samoa Joe makes his Raw in-ring debut and beat Roman Reigns. That's just a few. I didn't go through the whole list. I'd be here for a long time. So that's it. That will be uploaded to, it's already uploaded. I will release it tomorrow afternoon around dinner time. And this way you can enjoy that. And that's pretty much it for tonight. So it's been a long weekend, a fun weekend. And I want to thank you as always for your support. Now, before I get out of here, I got to give a couple of super shout-outs, if you don't mind. Thank you very much for the five spot and the kind words, Sebastian Martinez, saying nice stream. I want to welcome everybody who is new to the channel. I know little by little, word is getting out that you get straight up, you know, discussion here. No clickbait. You know, we criticize things, we knock things, you know, when necessary, but we're not just a, you know, let's piss on everything campaign. Plus, everybody keeps getting so much shit wrong. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's just people just, you know, they just want their shit out there. And if they get a few wrong, fine. But when they get one right, oh, you see, yeah. I don't know, man. I know there's additional people tuning in because of the Misha conversation we had. It was not an interview. It was just a conversation. She's very, very cool. And it's funny that some people think she's 19 years old. She had a good laugh out of that over the weekend. She's 33. So she's 33. But, you know, it was a cool conversation. Obviously, I don't want to get too personal with some topics, you know, out of respect to that situation. There's a lot that has not been made public. And, you know, I'm not the person that should be doing that. But people got a really good idea as far as what she's about and everything. And some of you want her to be back in the future. And if, you know, there's reason to do that, yeah, she's definitely could come back. Some of you want to see Matt Riddle come on as well. You know, it. I don't want to say that it's not out of the question. I think if that happens, it would have to do with WrestleMania. I think it would be more to hype up WrestleMania than anything else. But, yeah, it was really fun. And it was so easy. It was so easy. I literally had no notes. I didn't need any. You know, because when you really pay attention and you get to know someone, you know what they're about. So, it was interesting. I hope you all tune in. But there was, so far I found three people that hated it. I mean, hated it. And two of them, probably have some reason to, because of, the situation. I mean, it is what it is, but, whatever. It's not my problem. But all right. Want to give a shout out to Miggy Saito. Is that yen? I don't know if that's yen. I think it might be yen, but thank you for the 125, my friend. I'm disappointed what they are doing with Chelsea Green. I'll be honest with you. I'm not disappointed yet. And I'll tell you why. Right now, Chelsea Green is trying to establish her character. A lot of people know who she is. A lot of people have seen her wrestle. She's not new. She's married to Matt Cardona. She's reinvented herself to a degree. And a lot of people already know, but she's trying to create an identity in WWE. She's trying to get people, like, rub people the wrong way. She's trying to get the fans to be like, oh, could someone just shut her up, please? And that's fine as long as it's not too long. Because if she just keeps getting, loss after loss after loss, put in a place over and over and over and over again, then it becomes, almost like goof territory, damaged goods. So right now they're establishing her character. The complaining to Adam Pearce is getting old quickly. I wanted Swiss chocolates, or I wanted Belgian chocolates, or I wanted white chocolate, and I wanted this. And after a while, I don't know. Creating the identity for the people that don't know who she is fine. And I'll tell you the truth. So far, crowd is reacting to her. When you see her come out to the ring, even tonight when she's wearing, the outfit that she had, the hat reminded me a little bit of Gigi Dolan's hat. But she's got a presence about her. So, if she's going to lose, let her lose to Asuka. She starts losing to Dana Brooke, and I'm sorry if I keep mentioning Dana Brooke's name. It's not anything bad against Dana Brooke. There's nobody else I can think of right now. If she keeps losing to the lower echelon of talent, then there'd be cause of concern. But so far, I think her character is being developed, but the Karen thing is not going to work. The prima donna, Chelsea Green doing Carmella, or rich bitch prima donna, don't touch me. Like things like that, like a prissy bitch, I think that would work much better. A complaining Karen, she doesn't look like a complaining Karen. She looks like a Beverly Hills, like Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. Those are not Karens, All right. And RojoBear24, thank you for the two spot, my friend. Brock versus Bobby should be no holds barred. Maybe for WrestleMania. I mean, if, what could happen at Chamber? If it's just a straight up match, these guys just start beating the fuck out of each other outside the ring. It ends in a no contest. They start using tables, start using chairs, start like dismantling everything at ringside. If the fans see them brawling up and down the rampways, brawling into the crowd, and it ends in a no contest, okay. I don't mind that. If it ends at Elimination Chamber in a no contest, forcing a no-holds-barred at WrestleMania, or a cage match at WrestleMania, or a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania, okay. That's fine with me. So maybe that's the scenario. So I guarantee you somebody's going to write something in the next couple of days that there's issues with Brock Lesnar and his WrestleMania appearance is in question. That's how sausage is made, everyone. People tonight, right now, because their match at Chamber was unexpected, somebody's going to say, you know, there's word that, you know, there may be issues with Brock Lesnar behind the scenes and he may not even be at WrestleMania. And it's just made up. And then once we find out that they are going to have a match at Mania or Brock's going to have, then they'll say, oh, our sources tell us that Brock was able to work things out with. That's how, listen, if you all know that Zero News failure, I could be Zero News on steroids if I wanted to. Because you could just use common sense and throw good hunches. If you have a good way with hunches and you just really, really research things closely and you monitor dates and you check this, you could fucking nail shit. I mean, look at what happened in August and September of last year when we started the sausage movement. I mean, people were reporting. You know, Don Tony reports that his sources tell him that Vince McMahon texted Brock Lesnar and told Brock Lesnar, if you walk out on WWE, you walk out on me and you walk out on everything that I've built and I still own this company and I'm going to return. So, Brock, you got to go back out there and you got to do your thing. And people reported it as news and gave me credit for it. And I wrote hashtag sausage and I came on here and I said, look, everybody, I'm just telling you, this is how sausage is made. I never said to any of you out there, oh, my sources tell. Is the sausage movement. It was a beautiful thing, man. It was beautiful. Every single thing we nailed. Every single one. Even down to the rumors that there are some Hall of Famers that want Vince McMahon in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's some people that would want Vince McMahon back. If you remember all the haters out there early on, the roster under no circumstances, you know, does not want Vince McMahon to return. And yeah, there's a lot of people that feel that way, no question. But not everybody hates Vince. A lot of people feel very honored for the opportunity they were given. You know, you see, you just look at the history and you realize, you know, not everybody despises Vince McMahon. So, all right, everyone, let me jet out of here. I'm going to get out of here. So I hope you all enjoy NXT tomorrow night. I will, like I said, post a history show tomorrow if you want to enjoy that. It runs about 3.5 hours, I think, and a lot of great audio. Audio that I'm guarantee you've never heard before. Some you have, but a lot you haven't. And if you'd like to join me here Wednesday night, I'll be here live right after Dynamite. We'll do a quick recap of Dynamite. We'll get into some NXT. Definitely have a few things to get into with NXT because there are some roster changes coming, and we're going to look at some of the names that, you know, not so obvious names that are going to be getting the promotion. But, yeah, we'll definitely get into that. And we'll see, you know, if anything, you know, leads further because a lot of people think we may see Sky and Kai have a challenge match against Carter and Chance. I don't know right now because of Dakota Kai's situation. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, yeah, Carmelo Hayes, the road to championship victory is now begun. Carmelo Hayes will be your next NXT heavyweight champion, and then I'll probably be the goodbye for Bron Breakker and night after Raw, or maybe the SmackDown, the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, or the SmackDown after WrestleMania. I think we get Bron Breakker. We'll talk about a bunch of that on Wednesday. So, everyone, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. You know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. And that is it. Be well, everyone. Much love. I'll talk to you again soon. Oh, we got Patreon tomorrow night, too. I totally forgot about that. Patreon.com/Don Tony. And it's off the cuff. So if you sign up or if you're a member already, you could send in a question and we will get into it tomorrow night. That starts 10.05 p.m. So be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.